One of the things that we studied in ecology class was that in order to keep a forest or a prairie or the plains healthy, there are times when you have to have a controlled burn, where you had to set fire to all the old leaves and the old branches on the ground in order that they would be consumed, that they would turn back to ash, and that they would then fertilize the bigger plants and trees and to keep them healthy. So every spring, somebody would go out and they would light the old leaves or the old branches, the dry stuff that had fallen down over the winter, and they would burn that on all that up. They would consume it until it was all turned to char and to ash, and then they would do their best to put it out, and then that would then turn back to nutrients, and it would fertilize the trees and the forests and the plains, and everything would then grow in order for the growing season. Well, with that image in mind of burning things up to consume them and to turn them into nutrients, we then turn to our story this morning of Jesus cleansing the temple. He finds all the people in the court of the Gentiles doing business as they have done day after day, Passover after Passover. And he sees them selling bulls to be sacrificed on the altar and the sheep to be sacrificed. And he then takes a few cords of rope, he braids them together to make a whip, and he stampedes them out of the temple. He takes the tables where all the people would sit, and they would turn the Roman money into Syrian money that they could pay their temple tax. So he took their tables and he overturned them. He took the pouches of money which had coins beyond belief, and he emptied them onto the ground beneath them. He told those who had the cages for the pigeons, "Get these out of here, because this is my Father's house. It is to be a house of prayer and communion, not a place of profit and doing business." So Jesus burned up what was not healthy for the temple, in turn giving nutrients back to the people that they might have a healthy relationship with God. But I don't know about you, but there is something in this story which gnaws at me. And that is that we see in this brief story a very, very angry Jesus. He's not the meek and mild baby in the manger any longer. He's upset. He's irritated. He is righteously indignant that they are doing this in his Father's house. And he stampedes them out, whipping and crying and hooting, overturning tables, dumping out money. Is this the gentle good shepherd? No, this is a ticked off, wrathful Messiah. We have here a loving Jesus, but it is a consuming love of Jesus. A burning and zealous love for God that Jesus puts on displays here. Running them out of the temple. "You ain't having it here," he says. "Oh no, not here." And quite frankly, I think that doesn't match up with this mental image that we have of Jesus, the meek and the mild, the ever patient, the ever perseverance. No, we have a Jesus that is rather ticked off at his people. And that bothers us. Because if Jesus was angry with them, doesn't that suggest the possibility that Jesus might be angry at me? He's ticked off. They're doing business in a house of prayer. What would Jesus find in me? Or what would Jesus find in Trinity that would get Jesus rather ticked off? Would he then have to stampede something out of me? Something out of this? Would he overturn tables in my life? dumping out bags of stuff that he doesn't want? Jesus cleanses the table not with soap or Mr. Clean or a leaf blower. Jesus cleanses the temple with righteous and consuming love. And that bothers us, that Jesus would be burning and consuming of us and our lives and the things that we have it, our behaviors, our assets, our ways of life, the ways that we do communal life here at Trinity. What would God have to say in Jesus Christ about us? Love, absolutely, but a burning and consuming love. That if this is what love is, this is what it is going to be. Because our God is a jealous and zealous and burning God who loves us not with passivity, but with righteous love. That is not going to let us go even unto ourselves. And if there's stuff that needs to go poof, it's going to go poof. So my friends, Jesus loves us. As children, we are told to sing that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. But in today's story, we see just exactly what kind of love that Jesus loves us with. A burning and consuming love that is not going to allow evil in our lives or sinfulness or anything wicked in us. It is going to be consumed and be fertilizer to make us more healthy. That's the kind of love that Jesus loves us with. A love that corrects, at times rebukes. There are times that Jesus disciplines, Jesus fixes. That's the nature of a consuming love. And quite frankly, there is much in today's world, in today's church, in our lives, which needs a little cleaning. Because just as there was dishonesty in that day and age, particularly in religious life, there is plenty of dishonesty in our worlds. If you were to buy a bull at a marketplace in the ancient world, it would be one amount. But if you were to go to the temple and buy it there, it would be three times as much because they knew that they had you. It's like going to the Cleveland Indians Stadium and paying $15 for a beer. Because they know they have you, right? But is that supposed to happen in God's house? Well, we don't take that money. You have to change it into our money. And guess what? There's a 10% fee. Because that goes right here into my pocket. Now, that's not to say that there didn't need to be sacrifices or there didn't need to be money that was changed over, but there didn't need to be profiteering going on. But there was also hypocrisy. Love the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of slavery, and give me $20. Does that sound like an institution designed to help people commune with God? Or are those leaders fleecing the people for the sake of their personal fortunes, or robes, or education? There was profound prejudice, and still is, because I know, and y'all don't. I've got degrees and educations. I know Greek and Hebrew. That just makes me better than y'all. You're just going to have to get over it. There was plenty wrong with the temple in that day. And I'm ashamed to say there's plenty wrong with the church in this day and age. And yet Jesus didn't quit on them. and he's not going to quit on us. But don't think for a moment Jesus isn't going to set fire to the junk in their lives as just as much as ours. But the problem is, my friends, we don't want to change. We like things the way they are now. We like things the way we do things. Whether it's here, it's the music, or the order of worship that's been this way for 1,000 years, or the passages, or this time of year being in Lent. We like how we have our pews. We like the windows. We like the time because we can get to lunch right afterwards. We like the people sitting next to us. We like the location. We like the programs. And God forbid Jesus should come along and want to change any of it. Much like the Pharisees didn't want Jesus to change the way they did things. So, my friends, Jesus wants to set us afire with burning and consuming love, and the problem is we are stubborn. We're hard-hearted. We are stiff-necked. How dare you suggest that we change? How dare you suggest that you throw out the animals? How dare you suggest you overturn the tables? How dare you suggest you dump the money? Get this stuff out of here. How dare you, Jesus? When the Pharisees confronted Jesus, they wanted to know why and how he could do such a thing. How dare you make us change, Jesus? Because after all, this is my temple. This ain't yours. And yet, Jesus' reply is that you could destroy this temple and I can rebuild it in 3 days. And out of sheer defiance, they say, it took us 46 years. How are you going to do it in 3? And from that moment forward, they tried to arrest him and kill him. My friends, I have this awful reality about our world, this awful reality about us and our lives, that our life together here as a church, and that we are exactly like that forest, where all the stuff in our lives, the junk on the bottom of the floor, is keeping us from being a healthy community. And yet the good news, it is precisely that stuff that Jesus sets alight by the power and the force of his consuming love, that he burns it up to make us a healthy and profound community of unity, love, and mercy. But the dilemma is always this: just as he gets set with a lighted match to set it on fire, out of our stubbornness, we blow the match out. My friends, Jesus does love us, but it is a consuming love. It is a zealous love. It is a burning love that takes the junk in our lives and consumes it, that it will be fertilizer and nutrients to make us healthy. But it requires a little faith on our part that we let Jesus have his way with us in the power and the work of his Holy Spirit to change us, to not be no longer the status quo in our lives, to keep it the way it has been for 1,000 years, to weigh those dreaded words, we have always done it that way. But it is the consuming love of Jesus Christ which cleansed not just that temple, but which cleanses us. So, my friends, are we going to be a people of faith that yield ourselves unto Jesus Christ, to allow him to work on us and in us and through us? Will we let him set fire to us, burning out the garbage and fertilizing the good? Will we allow him to be our Savior, even if that means saving us from us? Will we allow him to love us with a consuming love? Will we be trustful and mindful and faithful? Or will we be stubborn, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and unbelieving? Will we be disciples, or will we be Pharisees? God, as the man Jesus of Nazareth, wants to love us. But don't think for a moment it isn't the angry Jesus in the temple who wishes to consume and to reform and to change. But it means that if we are truly his people, we must have the faith necessary to say, "Here we are, Lord. Let thy will be done in me, on me, and through me." The good news, my friends, is God does love us, as the little children's stories tell us. But don't think for a moment it isn't a burning or zealous or consuming love. So if this is what Jesus wishes to do in us as a people, in you as an individual, then let us be a people of faith who surrender ourselves unto his hand, and we might just find that the junk will go up in smoke, and we might just become a more healthy and a more vibrant people. God wants a controlled burn. Faith says, light it up. Amen.